Before we begin, let's pray. I'm slightly smaller than Peter, hang on. Only slightly. Let's pray. Lord God, as we look at your word this morning, may you speak to us through your Holy Spirit and help us to see you more clearly in a way that will impact your world. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So see and believe. Now, I've got a bit of a reputation in my family for not being able to see what is right in front of me. I mean, I do have a really strong prescription, and without my glasses, I can't see very much. But I will give you an example of one such occasion where I could not see very well. No matter how much someone tried to point out something to me, I just couldn't see it. So there's a couple of examples. First example, I was sort of sitting out in my aunt and uncle's back garden with my cousin. I think it was two Father's Days ago, having sort of some tea, because we could only be outside then. Those were the days, if you remember back that far. And we were sitting in the garden, and they live in Folkestone. And Folkestone is well known for different air shows, and quite often will have the red arrows fly over. It's a well-known sound and sight. We were sitting there, and we could hear the planes, could hear them. I looked up. Couldn't see a single plane in the sky. My cousin tried to point out from fences and hedges and different directions, couldn't see them. Still don't know how I didn't see them. My family don't know how I didn't see them. I just couldn't see. I believed that they were there, I could hear it, but I hadn't seen it, couldn't see them. Another time I was trekking in New Zealand on a Christian adventure, and we were kind of walking through the beautiful New Zealand scenery. We were walking through the edge of a forest, and there was this big expanse of green pasture. And then there was sort of forest bordering all around the edges of this pasture. And the people I was with, they stopped and they were like, oh, aren't the deer beautiful? They're wonderful deer. Well, I couldn't see a single deer in the field. I was like, what are they talking about? I half thought maybe they were pulling my leg, maybe they were just playing a prank, although we weren't really like that to each other. And I was like, I don't see a deer. And I remember turning to my friend AJ and said, can you see the deer? And I think I'd got a reputation for kind of caring for people. And so I was like, yeah, I can see them. And I was like, but I can't see them. I got quite desperate about not being able to see deer. But I wanted to see. I wanted to see what all the fuss was about. I wanted to see what they were experiencing. And so he patiently then realized that I was getting in a state over deer and pointed out to me where the deer were. They were sort of in the tree line. And as soon as he pointed it out and put it into perspective, I could see the deer. It wasn't just one deer, it was about 20 or 30. I mean, how I could not have seen them is unbelievable, but I needed someone to help me see. And these stories in Acts are about seeing and believing. I don't know if you have this picture on the screen. I don't know if you're thinking, what on earth is that? Some of you might think, well, yeah, that's really obvious. Do you see a white background with pink squares and shapes that look a bit weird? Who can see that? Not really sure what's there. Yep, so some people, all they can see is white with pink. Who can see pink as the background with a white frame around the edge and the word Jesus in the middle? Some can see that. Some are still thinking, nope, not got a clue. More hands are going up. More people can see it. As I've pointed out, what we're looking at, where it's a pink border, pink background with a white border and the word Jesus across. You see, sometimes we need things pointed out to us. And sometimes we're the ones that do the pointing out of Jesus to others. And in these stories, things happen, things are seen, and people believe. So that's what we're going to dig deeper into this morning. So we've got Peter, one of Jesus' followers, and he was given a command, like all the other followers, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey all that Jesus commanded. That was the Great Commission that we read in Matthew's Gospel. And here in the book of Acts, we've been seeing them do that. If we read through, we see that the disciples are faithfully going around telling the good news about Jesus. And in chapter 9, at the beginning of our passage today, in verse 32, we see Peter travelling around the country, going here and there, visiting with the brothers and sisters wherever he went. The NIV says the Lord's people, but he went around encouraging the other believers. See, he couldn't help but share the good news with others. And in this traveling around, we then come across these two incidences of healing. The first one of Aeneas from paralysis, and the second, Tabitha from death. Now, these miracles, you might have, when you heard the reading, thought, well, they sound very familiar, but they sort of parallel some of Jesus' own miracles. We can read in Luke chapter 5, where, do you remember the story of the paralyzed man and the friends lowering him in the roof and bringing them to the feet of Jesus? And Jesus heals the man of paralysis. And in Luke chapter 8, we read the story of Jairus' daughter who died, but Jesus says, she's not dead, she's asleep. Little girl, get up. There's parallels in these miracles of Jesus with the miracle that Peter performs. Peter isn't doing anything that hasn't been done before. But when Jesus performed them, they were signs of who he was, that he was going to bring about the kingdom of God, that he was the Son of God himself, the promised king who had power over sin, illness, and death. And when Peter's involved in these miracles, Luke communicates clearly to us, Luke's the writer of Acts, he communicates clearly that it's Jesus who healed Aeneas. It's not Peter in his own abilities. Peter says that in verse 35, if you want to look. It says, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and roll up your mat. See, Peter's clearly saying, this isn't because of me. This is because of Jesus. Peter's relying and trusting in Jesus' power. When he's invited over to Joppa to see Tabitha, Peter dismisses everyone from the room and he turns to prayer. He's on his knees praying. And only after he prays does he tell her to get up. She opens her eyes, sits up, and he helps her to her feet, taking her to the other believers and showing her to be alive. And then we read, this became known and many believed. I love that detail of him being on his knees to pray when he's with Tabitha. It's really interesting to me because, again, it shows that Peter was doing all he could to let others see Jesus through him. Now, although he's not being seen in this act because he tells everyone to go out and he's on his own with Tabitha and kneels to pray, but I think it gives you an idea of the kind of person Peter was, that he relied on Jesus' strength. You see, that kneeling sign of prayer is a sign of submission, of realizing that it's not in your own strength. It's that kind of almost a begging attitude of, Lord, only you can be involved in this. Only you have the power in this situation. No one could see him doing that, but I think that he'd built up that habit, that discipline of relying and trusting in Jesus. He had an attitude of reliance. You see, this attitude, I think, could point others to see Jesus, that it wasn't Peter, but it was his reliance on Jesus that was what was being seen. I wonder how we show our reliance on Jesus. What habits do we cultivate that help us to stay close to him? Is it something we need to develop, time in prayer with God, in meditation of God's word? How do we show more reliance and in that reliance lead others to see and believe? You see, the miraculous doesn't happen every day. We're not always called every day, are we, to pray for miraculous healing and see it. But there's more in this passage than just this miracle. You see, Peter's actions of knowing that it's Jesus working through him is being a faithful witness. He's pointing those who witness these miracles and who hear about them to the truth about Jesus, that it's Jesus who truly has the power over all things. See, the miraculous has a way of witnessing to Jesus' power, but also obedience has a way of witnessing to Jesus' power. See, the miraculous of healing of Aeneas started with Peter being obedient to God, and that obedience was being a disciple. He was traveling around, sharing the truth with his fellow brothers and sisters. He went to encourage and to be encouraged as well, I think. And it was from this obedience, talking about Jesus, that he met Aeneas and the miraculous occurred. Peter knew that making disciples involved teaching and sharing with others in word to obey all that Jesus commanded. And that was his starting point. I think there's something we can learn here of the importance of meeting with each other, visiting each other, encouraging each other in our faith, just by sharing about the day-to-day. I wonder if you can think of something this week that you really wanted to give thanks to God for, something that happened that you know was totally because of him. And I wonder if then we then share that with each other. So maybe we had a time of real peace that we really felt God's Spirit speaking with us. Maybe we really needed a parking space because we were really late for work and we were desperate and actually it came through. Do we see that as God providing for our needs and do we give thanks to him? And do we share that with others? I think if we did, we would see that he is at work in us and around us and through us. So let's think and reflect on how we can share that with each other, share those good stories of Jesus in our lives, being at work in the day to day. Do we take enough time to do that? We've got an annual church meeting coming up and I'm a bit weird. I really love a church meeting. I love it because it's great to hear about what God is doing in the life of the church. And I love it because often there's a shared lunch. And it's always great to, it's great to eat, but I wasn't thinking of that. I was thinking more of it's great to be able to be together, to share and talk and just have conversation. See, Peter was having these kinds of conversations as he went around visiting brothers and sisters in Lydda and Joppa and Sharon. See, these are things that we can learn. It wasn't just the miraculous that points people to Jesus. There was also the teaching and sharing and doing life that pointed to Jesus. And then the third way that helped the people in this story see and believe was through the faithful witness and discipleship of Tabitha in her day-to-day life. See, there's more detail in the story about Tabitha. And we know instantly she's called a disciple. But actually, the word that's used for disciple here is specifically female disciple. Now, I know some of us might feel that that's a bit, well, why single it out as female disciple? We sometimes hate the phrase, don't we, female doctor, female clergy. I'm fully embracing being a female clergy. I just have to say that. Just to me, that's not the problem. And actually, that was what Luke was trying to make the point. That actually, by saying she was a female disciple, he was saying that her faith was her own. That it wasn't a faith through her husband. It wasn't a faith through other members of the household. It was a faith that was fully her own and she was living it out. Luke is quite pro-women and is in favour and talks a lot about the importance of women. And in his account of Tabitha, there's allusions to the upper room that they lay her in when she's died. And quite often that means that they're quite wealthy, but it might also indicate that she had a church meeting held there, that they were a church gathering in an upper room. Tabitha was a follower of Jesus in her own right. And how do we know that? How do we know that what that looked like for her? Well, that looked like caring for those around her. She cared practically for others. She was doing good and helping the poor, we read in verse 36. And in verse 39, we hear of the widow showing Peter the clothing that Tabitha had provided for them, that she'd made for them. You see, her love of God and the practical way she lived out her faith led others to have faith in her God of miracles. You see, when she died, they washed her body. But instead of doing the normal anointing with oils and burial, they laid her in that upper room and they sent for Peter. It's almost like they're anticipating the miraculous. The everyday faith of Tabitha made way for the miraculous and for many to see Jesus at work and believe. How different it might have been if she wasn't living out her faith. Now, good works don't earn God's love for us. We don't achieve salvation or eternal life through what we do. It's through what Jesus has done for us on the cross that we are saved. And all we do is say, yes, Jesus, I believe. But our good works are a response to his love for us. And our good works are a huge witness to others. The way we take care of each other as brothers and sisters, as well as how we take care of our wider community, is a massive witness, a massive way of showing Jesus to others, of sowing see and believe. Now, I definitely see that at work in this church, in this community. And it's been amazing to be thinking that I've really been here a year and how I've been cared for and loved. And you've done that in many different ways, in cups of coffee, in meals, in gardening, in different ways of care. And there's something in the way we care for each other that can be seen by others and can be used, say, as pointing to Jesus, as showing that it's Jesus' love for us that makes us want to care for each other. There's a story, I may have shared it with you before, I'm sorry if I'm already repeating stories. It's only been a year, got two more of me left. But there's a story when I was at university, and it struck me for this occasion that I was with my physio friends. We were having coffee in one of the big hospitals in London, and one of my friends from Christian Union walked by. And I sort of left and had a little chat with my friend. I don't even remember what it was about. I don't really remember. But what I remember was coming back and sitting down, and my friend turning to me, my physio friend, and saying, "That was one of your Christian friends, wasn't it?" I was blown away because there was obviously something in, I mean, it was nice to my physio friends too, but there was obviously something in the interaction that showed that we were Christians, that we love Jesus, and I hope that it showed a glimpse of Jesus to them. So how are we witnessing to Jesus? How are we letting others see him in our lives? Through what we say, through our attitudes, and in what we do. Just sort of think and reflect. Do we believe and pray for miracles that might help people see and believe? Are we ready to share stories about our lives with Jesus that would help people see and believe? And in the way we care and love for each other and for the wider community, do people see and believe Jesus through what we do? See, these miracles and the lives of both Peter and Tabitha all helped others see Jesus and believe in him. We have it in the beginning after Aeneas' healing, and we have it after Tabitha's raised from the dead. So let us too live our lives pointing others to Jesus and knowing his love more and more for ourselves. So let's reflect on how we can be helping others to see and believe in our day to day. Let's pray. Lord God, open our eyes to see you more clearly, to see you at work in our world. Help us to see where we can join in. We pray that we would grow in our love for you and your world, and that we would follow you more closely in everything that we do. Help us in our love and care for others to witness to your love and truth, that others would see and believe. I pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.